is my privilege to be involved in the preaching in this theme on discipleship. I was reflecting back to all that the Lord has done in my life. I can't say that I was reflecting to all of it because it's a lot. As God took a quiet programmer down in Texas and put a real desire in my heart to be involved in the preaching of God's word, something I didn't think I would ever be involved in, but I praise God for all he's done. It's a real privilege to be a part of the missionary program and outreach of this church, and we love you all dearly in the Lord. You know, I was thinking the Lord took a quiet programmer and turned him into a long-winded preacher, and tonight I'm going to try and stay within the confines, the guidelines of our time, but I'm excited to be preaching about the method for making disciples. The method for making disciples. I was thrilled last night as Brother George was preaching, and as we were following along in the scriptures and thinking about the mandate that God has given to us, a mandate that brings joy and not grief, a mandate that reminds us of the power of God. And that was tremendous. And I was really captivated also by that passage in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 52. In fact, if you turn there, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 51 and 52. Remember last evening, Brother George was talking about the householder that was bringing forth out of his treasures things both new and old. And I was talking with him after the service, and I was thinking about how amazing it is that God has entrusted to us the treasures, his spiritual treasures, that we would be able to entrust those to others. And that's really what discipleship is about, as we talk about the method for making disciples. This method comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It comes from his word. It's his design. It's not anything that we've come up with. But Matthew chapter 13 and verse 51, Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then he said unto them, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. You know, the Great Commission gives us a very clear mandate, a command to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that word teach, as we were learning last night, has the idea of making disciples. And it's the idea of being able to impart something to someone else that I've received myself. To be able to impart treasure that God has given to me to someone else. And there's a lot of joy in doing that. And I was thinking about these treasures, or we could say in a household, there are many different commodities and things that the house needs. And this householder, the owner, knows exactly the need, and he knows where to find the thing in need. Now, I want you to think about, well, I'll talk about the men first here. Men, do you have a favorite tool? Maybe a favorite set of tools? A few years ago, missionary Tom Godet gave me his toolbox. Now, you talk about love for a missionary. That's great love right there. I mean, the whole toolbox, he gave it to me. And so I don't know how many spanner wrenches I found in there, crescent wrenches, as we say in the U.S. But I was giving them away as gifts. But, you know, I have some favorite tools. Yeah, and the Thai people, they'd get one, and they're like, oh, what do you do with this? It's like, doesn't everyone need a crescent wrench? And they honestly didn't know what to do with it. But that's part of discipleship. It's teaching someone else how to use your favorite tool. No, that's an aside. But think of it, men. You may have a favorite tool that you're excited about using. Someone comes and they have a need. You're like, I have a tool for that. I know how to fix that. Just wait a minute. Or ladies, maybe you have a drawer filled with your favorite Pampered Chef accessories. Like that crinkle cut one that you use for vegetables. That is a game changer, okay? Now, but think about this. We have tools that we like to use in our house, and we bring them out for just the right activity, just the right need. And, you know, in discipleship, if we were to simplify a method down to see what we find in Scripture, and this is believers getting excited about sharing the treasures that they've received with others. And being able to spot a need and to be able to say, you know, I know where to go for that need because God has worked in my heart already. And let me share with you the truth. Let me invest truth in your life that I've already received. Now, if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we're going to be reading some verses that the Apostle Paul gave to his son in the faith, Timothy, and then we'll be focusing on that classic verse in chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, as our text verse for tonight's message. But we're going to start off in chapter number 1 of 2 Timothy because we want to get some of the backdrop of Paul's instruction. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and I'll start off in verses 1 to 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Do you catch the fervor? Do you catch the familial bond? Do you catch the dearness that the Apostle Paul has in writing to his son in the faith? And we go down now to verse 6. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, we're going to jump down to verse number 13, where the Apostle Paul charges Timothy. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, and we ask for your help. Lord, these are your words. Lord, would you help me to be able to speak in a way that would lift up your words and the meaning and the application that you have for us? Lord, help us to stay on focus and not get distracted tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us directly. Help us to make application. As we think about the method of disciple making, Lord, would we walk away with an understanding that this is something not only that you have entrusted to us, but something that you've given us every ability to do. And I pray these things, trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We have a great commission to go into all the world and teach. And this teaching is making disciples. There's a specific method to it. I was thinking about this command here, first of all, in chapter 1 and verse 13 of 2 Timothy. It says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So here's a command to hold on to something of value. Now look at verse 14. It says, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Now, we think about this good thing, and I think of treasure. Think of something of value, something that's been committed to our trust. And the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he's charging him to hold on to these sound words. Now, we go down to chapter number 2, and the first two verses. It says, thou therefore, because of these things, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So I want to connect these things together, that idea of holding fast onto the things that you've learned, Timothy, to be able to, therefore, take those things that you've heard and commit those to faithful men. We're going to be talking about the method for disciple making. And the method is simply this. It is a method of holding on to what God has given, being strong in those things that we would be able to commit, to invest, to deposit truth in the lives of someone else. And as we go forward here, I want you to understand and be excited about this idea that the method for disciple making is something that every believer can be involved in. It's a method that is not specific to education or to experience. It's not specific to location or to family heritage. It is something that God has made that is powerful, that relies upon the power of His Word, relies upon our submission to the work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives that we can then be able to see someone else grow up into maturity to be like Jesus Christ. Now, discipleship involves a stewardship of the gospel. And that's what we're getting at here, that good thing that was committed to you and committed to me is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That good thing that was committed to Timothy was something of value, something that the Apostle Paul gave his life for and was put in prison and had his very life threatened over and over again. And he said, don't be afraid of these sufferings in my life, Timothy, but I want you to hold on to these sound words. Hold fast to them, that you would be able to commit them to others. You know, a disciple maker is not the author or the creator of wisdom. The disciple maker is rather a dispenser or a director to truth. We think of this, the difference between someone who may be like a sculptor who is creating some original work of art and a librarian. You know, a librarian does not need to read all of the books in the library in order to understand where to find them. And that's why we have things like indexes, right? I praise God for indexes and reference tools. And I probably don't know where to find anything anymore because of all the smart devices that I have, which look it up for me. But as a disciple maker, your job is not to be able to understand the ins and outs of everything that the Bible says, but your job is to know by experience the things that God has taught you and be able to submit to the work of being able to commit those to someone else. And the Bible gives us this method here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to break it down into basically two different commands. I was looking for a third one because sometimes it seems more spiritual to have 3 points in your message. But then I thought about this. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. OK, so we're going to have 2 commands to focus on. And before we get there, I want us to think about how discipleship is an essential component to church growth. You know, without discipleship, we're very much individual members, right, kind of doing our own thing. But disciple making is one thing. It's one direction that God has given to us. And it's something that involves everyone in the body. I wanted to come up with some sort of fancy illustration of momentum tonight. Then I realized I don't know that much about physics. And I'll just say it's this. Everybody needs to be moving in the same direction. That's what it means for a church to be growing. And we're going to see that as a disciple maker, we are multiplying the things that God has invested in our lives. And when we are all involved in that multiplication together, God is at work and the church is automatically moving. Amen. By leaps and bounds and multiplying and moving forward. And this is exciting. So discipleship involves the stewardship of the gospel. That's one of the first things we learn. And secondly, discipleship is an essential component to church growth and impact. But, you know, if we're going to keep this command of making disciples, especially of going into all the world and teaching every creature and preaching the gospel, we better understand what a disciple is. You know, if I told you that I wanted you to come up here and I had a bunch of boxes and I was going to select somebody, I'd say, hey, Mark, I want you to come up here and I want you to make a fizz widget for me. And you'd be like, what is that? I'm like, well, just, you know, take some of this stuff out of the boxes and make it. You've got a hot glue gun. And you've got some of those googly eyes and some pom-poms and other things, and you can just make it. Now, he would want to know what that thing was, right, to make. We think about as a disciple of Jesus Christ, if we're involved in making disciples, we need a very clear understanding of what a disciple is and also how it should be made. Now, I have a simple definition of what a disciple is or what disciple making is. And you can expound upon this, but just for simplicity, we'll say discipleship is faithfully investing your life into another person to teach them how to know Christ and accomplish his purpose for their life. And as I was writing this down, I'll read it again. It's faithfully investing your life into another person to teach them how to know Christ and accomplish his purpose for their life. I actually had to broaden my definition as I was writing it down because I was thinking, you know, discipleship actually begins sooner than we often think of it. If you go back to the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, and we'll look at the last two verses, Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Here's our command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now we see that word teaching repeated twice. And it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's that word that Brother George was telling us about last night of making disciples, imparting to them this treasure of the gospel. And then also in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So we think of this teaching here. There's really two aspects of teaching. There is a teaching that brings someone up to the point of placing their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a teaching of the gospel. And then there is a teaching of someone who is born again, of teaching them all things whatsoever Jesus Christ has commanded us. So really, discipleship is a very broad topic, making disciples. But we find a very clear-cut method in Scripture. We're going to go back to where we were in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I just have to remind myself of that many times, because sometimes I get into my mind that discipleship is only for someone that fits my specific thinking of what a disciple should be. And I realize that there are times where I overlook opportunities for discipleship because I've kind of narrowed things down so narrow that I'm kind of missing opportunities to invest truth in other people. We see here that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that there is a method that determines the outcome. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now, it looks like I'm already skipping over my notes here, because my first action command here is actually found in verse number 1. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You know, if we overlook this foundational truth, then disciple making will be all done in our own effort. But we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's the first action point that I have for us tonight. Be strong. That word, be strong, it means to be empowered. And it's in a continuous tense. To be continually empowered in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When we think about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that sent him to the cross, that caused him to die for us, that caused him to live for us, to be raised again from the dead, to ever live and intercede for us. When we think about the power of that grace in our lives, we realize it is a continuing process. It is something that continually gives us life. It continually gives us hope and power to live for God each day. And that's why we can say to be strong is not to be strong by pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but it is being empowered through the grace of what Jesus has done and not our own ability. Now, I think about this. There's a problem, and we see the problem even in this chapter number 2, that men are trying to be strong in their own ideas and their own abilities. Chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." You know, there are men who are striving or fighting about words and meanings and trying to compare their knowledge. But in verse 15, this is what Timothy is instructed. He's instructed, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." If we're to be strong, to be empowered through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it involves the work of God through his word in our lives to empower us, to give us strength, to renew us in the inner man, as Scripture talks about. And we need that every day. If you're going to be involved in this method of discipleship, the first action is to be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what's beautiful about this action is something that every one of us can do. And every one of us needs to do this, whether we're involved in disciple making or not, because this is our relationship with Jesus Christ. This is something that we just need, period, every day of our lives. We need to be strong in what Jesus has done and not our own abilities. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. If you hold your finger here in 2 Timothy, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9. It says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." I want you to think about that richness of God's grace. Ephesians 1 tells us that there's no depth to that. Or we could say that God's forgiveness is measured by the depth of his grace, the riches of his grace. There's no end to either one of those. God fully and freely forgives based upon his grace because he has so much grace that we can't measure it. And I think about this, that if we're to be empowered through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be strong because Jesus has grace, because Jesus offers grace to us. It's based upon him. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Praise God that we can be strong in Jesus Christ, and he doesn't tell us to be strong in ourselves. If it was up to us to be strong in order to be able to make disciples, there'd be very few of us, if any, that would be able to do that. And I thank God for this, because this method of discipleship is something that we can do, something that God has given, and he gives us the strength to do it. First of all, we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And also, if you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, we need to be strong because of false teachers. We need to be strong because there's a lot of false teaching out there. And we understand this over and over again in this time where we're living. You know, many have turned away from boldly preaching the gospel. I talked about that in verse 14 of chapter 2. And then the command in verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman." You know, discipleship involves labor. It involves labor to understand God's word for myself, that I would be able to entrust, to commit the treasures that I'm learning to another person. But think of it this way, that work, all that work of investing in someone else, first of all, reaps the reward in my life, and then it overflows where I can invest in someone else. And this is how God is making us strong. And that's, again, why I didn't have 3 points, because I was going to have a point in there about hearing God's word. And I thought, how can we be strong unless we're hearing God's word? How can we be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ unless we are studying God's word? It's really connected together. We see here that we need to be strong because of false teachers, and we need to be strong because we've been entrusted with the gospel. And again, this connects back with that householder who is taking out of his treasures things both new and old. In our study of the Word of God, I can think of it this way, that there are some things that we've learned a long time ago that we've learned to use. And we've learned to make a part of our life. Maybe it's just reading our Bible every day. Maybe it's taking some time to pray before a meal. Some of these things that just simply become habits in our life. We say, oh, that's commonplace. That's old. And then we have something else that's new, something we just heard recently. Like, I just heard the other night about this householder, and I was excited to think about this analogy. And I was like, oh, this is something new that I can bring out, something that I just learned that I'm excited to share with others. Well, you know, we are constantly able to pull out treasures of God's word, things that we've already committed to a habit, things that we're working on right now, and we can commit these to others. Now, Timothy was instructed, he was entrusted, I should say, with the gospel. And we think about this in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me." What are those things? First of all, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That has been entrusted to you. That has been entrusted to me. That is a treasure of God. And the Apostle Paul, he took that treasure and he deposited it in the life of Timothy. In the sense that he instructed Timothy about the gospel to the end that Timothy could then take the gospel and deposit that, invest that into the life of another person. So that that person could take the gospel and deposit it into the life of another person. You say, why do you keep using that word deposit? Because I like that word deposit, because when you deposit something, it's not yours anymore. Or it's not in your hands, I should say, anymore. If you deposit it in the bank, it better still be yours, right? I mean, if I deposit money in my account, I want it to land in my account. But think about this, that we are committing to someone else's care a treasure that we've first received for ourselves. And that's why we have that word commit. You see that in verse 2? And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same things commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So that word commit ties together with the word teach, because it's teaching someone else and committing, investing truth in their lives. And I want you to think about this, that very simply, we have two actions here. First of all, be strong in hearing God's word and studying God's word. Be strong in the grace of God yourself, that you would be able to deposit truth in the life of someone else. That second action point is to deposit truth. And I thought about several ways of explaining this, but first of all, I want to go back to that thought of one method that is essential. Okay, do you realize there are not seven different methods of disciple making in Scripture? Now, there's many tools to disciple making, but we see here in chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me, there's a collection of truth that's been entrusted to you and I, and it's the same things that we are to entrust in someone else's life. So many different ways, many different tools to use to do that, but we don't have another set of truth out there that we say, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to choose my own truth to entrust to your life because I just like this set of truth better. No, there's one gospel, there's one way to grow, to be more like Jesus Christ, and that's found in God's word. And there's one method for growth, we could say, and that is to draw closer to Jesus Christ, to the study of his word, to submission to the Holy Spirit of God. So that's how we can say there truly is one method of disciple making, even though there's many different tools we can use in that method. And I was thinking, you know, there are some things that we build that don't require a certain method. This afternoon, I had an opportunity to play around with some kinetic sand with my kids, and that was fun because there's no method to kinetic sand. There's no step one, step two, step three. You just play with it. And it's kind of gooey in the middle. You know, you can kind of crunchy on the outside and gooey in the middle. You can do all sorts of fun things with it. If you've not, I'm looking around and I'm seeing some people who have never played with kinetic sand before. I say, you've got to look it up. You've got to try it out. But then I'm reminded that there are other things in life that require a very specific step of actions. Sure. Maybe there's something that comes to mind. I was reminded in putting these notes together of trying to make mayonnaise. Have you ever tried to make mayonnaise before? Yes, those of you who have know that there's a specific way to do it, and there's probably 1,000 ways not to make it. I've tried a few of those ways that did not work. In Thailand, I was trying it out one day, and I was like, yeah, you know, this is close enough. Well, close enough doesn't do it, because mayonnaise requires an emulsion. You can talk with Tim Anger about what that means. But I know what it's not. I know things that are not an emulsion. And that's basically two liquids which never bond together in any way or never get thick. We could use that thought. And I've tried, you know, a couple different ways trying to get this. And finally, I followed the instructions. And I dribbled that oil really, really slowly in while the blender was whipping around and trying to throw mayonnaise everywhere. And I finally got it to stick. I got it to thicken. I got it to do what it was supposed to do. Now, there are many things in life that require a specific method. And I would say that one of the things that we must not overlook in making disciples is that God has already given us the truth that we give to someone else. Yeah. Disciple making is not taking my preferences for the Christian life. It's not even taking my convictions of the Christian life and then trying to stamp them upon someone else, because that's not disciple making. Disciple making is making a disciple that knows and loves Jesus Christ and is drawing close to him. And that is so important, because if somehow we get into our minds that disciple making is a curriculum or it's a set of lessons, then we can easily stray from the core principle here that we find in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same things, I'm adding that word things to make emphasis, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. See, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the Bible says. We've received the treasure of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. God doesn't tell us to somehow come up with something else to teach. He just tells us to be able to lift up God's word, take the same things that we've been entrusted with, and to be able to explain those to others. And I hope that's as freeing to you as it is to me, because that means as a disciple maker, I really don't have to worry about what do I teach someone else. Now, I have in the past, I've wondered, what do I teach first? What do I teach second? But I'll explain one thing that comes of being involved in discipleship for many years now, and that is the curriculum is not as important as your learning from Scripture yourself. You know, you can take any verse in the Bible that stands out to you, that you've been studying, the Lord has made real to you, and you've gotten application from, and you can turn around and you can make that alive to someone else. And you can find that the Lord will use that to fit into their life and their need in a way that no lesson could fit. Now, lessons are good. Don't get me wrong. I use lessons. I use guidelines because we all are trying to follow after the commands of Jesus Christ. That's what we find in Scripture here, that we're to teach the all things that Christ has commanded us. But I think about this treasure that is given to us. God has given us to deposit into the life of someone else. And it's the same things that we've received that we are going to commit into the life of someone else. And I think of this word commit. It means to set before, to entrust to another. And that word deposit, to invest. It's the truth you know how to apply because you've already applied it to your life. It's truth that has become a treasure to you that in turn you can offer to others as a treasure. And, you know, there's an example for this here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we don't have a lot of time, but I just want to point out a few things that discipleship requires faithfulness. Faithfulness to these two actions. First of all, to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, to deposit truth in the life of another. And I see that there are four examples of faithfulness found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The first one is of a son. And verse number one, this relationship of a son, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. A son has a relationship. You know, if you're going to make disciples, they need to be disciples of Jesus Christ, not disciples of Nat Williams, not disciples of another person. They're disciples of Jesus Christ. This is so important because they need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. They will never be strong in your teachings. They'll never be strong just as a follower of you, but they will be strong if they are following after Jesus Christ. And that's why we must have a very clear picture here that we're being faithful according to the pattern of Scripture. We see that there is an example of a son, and he's faithful in his relationship to the Father in that picture. There's another example of a soldier in verse 3. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why do we have these different pictures of a son, of a soldier? It's because I believe the Apostle Paul is trying to demonstrate for Timothy what faithfulness looks like. Because he just gave him this command that there's a certain kind of person to commit truth to. Okay, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. He gives this example of a soldier, someone who is dedicated and who endures hardship. That's faithfulness. There's a picture of an athlete. We see in verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. An athlete needs discipline. There are things that athletes do for their bodies and things that they don't do to their bodies in order that they would receive the crown. They would receive the reward. Athletes don't eat junk food, at least not before the competition. And there's a reason, because they have a reward. They are disciplined. There's also a farmer here. In verse 6, and here's that word, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now, this husbandman, this farmer, he is one who is diligent and he's patient and determined in order to receive fruit. And he puts in long hours for many, many months because he knows that fruit is coming. He's put everything on the line for this fruit. Now, we mention this about faithfulness because this is part of the method of discipleship. First, we have the treasure that is entrusted to us, that we need to be strong in this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be able to commit this or deposit this treasure into others, but not just any person. The Bible says Verse 2, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, faithfulness is so important because what you will find in discipleship is that discipleship always ends with the last faithful man. Discipleship will never continue on past someone who is faithful to be able to entrust what they've received to someone else. You know what the problem we find over and over, and I see it in my life constantly, is I get content of receiving truth, but not giving truth. Of receiving truth and saying, wow, that was delicious. That was a wonderful spiritual feast. But not being able to give that or not choosing to share some of that with others. And that's why I wanted to think about discipleship as not just some big thing that's out there that we're trying to understand all from start to finish. But I want us to break it down into something that's very simple tonight. And that is that discipleship is being able to take, or first of all, to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to receive truth from God, and that we would be able to invest it, deposit that into the life of another person. And to be able to think of this as an ongoing process in our life that we can be doing. We may not be the person that goes from start to finish in another believer's life. And I would say that's often, that's very rare that we would have the opportunity to be able to disciple someone from start to finish.
That's right.
God is using a church body in discipleship all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And he's using multiple different perspectives. I think of many men in my life who have discipled me in little bits here, little bits there, and constantly pointing me back to Scripture. And that's what discipleship is. It's many people investing truth that they've received in the life of someone else. And to see that truth multiply itself, to see that treasure grow, so to speak, because it's being shared. And what we find in discipleship is that Jesus, of course, is our great example. Mark chapter 3 and verse 15. Mark chapter 3 and verse 15. If we think of the method of discipleship, of course, we must think about our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 3 and verse 14 says, but Mark, that's why. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Okay, Mark chapter 3. In verse 14 says, and he ordained 12, talking of Jesus, that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. So Jesus had a very clear method of discipleship. He selected 12 to be with him, that they would learn of him, and then he sent them forth to preach. He committed to them what they would be able to preach to others. Now, he was the grace of God in person. He was already strong in that grace, and he brought men to him, and he said, learn of me, and I will send you forth to preach. You know, one of the things that's very important also in discipleship, this method of discipleship, is being with someone else. You know, it's really hard to disciple someone from a distance, and I've tried it. Right now, we're in a unique position. We're on the other side of the world, and I'm trying to invest in the life of believers in Thailand, and you know, it can be done in little bits here, little bits there, but there's nothing like being with someone. Because there's a lot that's picked up in discipleship that's just picked up by an example. And we see that even in these examples I mentioned, the son, the soldier, the athlete, the farmer, you know, if we are around these people, we would pick up some of that perspective of dedication and endurance and discipline and patience, determination. We pick some of that up just by being around them. And that's what we find in discipleship, that as we're faithfully investing part of my life, the treasure that I've received in the life of someone else, that they are picking up things that I'm not directly teaching them, but they're picking them up from my relationship with God.
Right.
And they're being able to see how does that truth fit into everyday life. And that's why discipleship is more than a lesson, because I can tell someone that in difficult times, then the grace of God and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep their hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. But when they see the peace of God working in my life in difficult times, they say, oh, okay, I see how that's working. I see that I can trust the Lord in the same way. Now, you may ask yourself, well, what would I teach? You say discipleship is not a curriculum, but what do I teach? Well, first of all, we need to focus on strengthening our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if we're to be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, that really reminds us of the first thing that we should be investing in someone else's life is that they would be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of John chapter 15, and we're not going to take time to look at all of the verses here because I have about 5 minutes left. But John chapter 15 and verse 7 is a verse that you'll go back to over and over again. John chapter 15 and verse 7. Of course, Jesus is talking about the illustration of the grapevine, the branches. Verse 7, it says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." What is the responsibility of the vine? The vine is to abide in the branch. The responsibility of the branch is to abide in the vine. What is the responsibility of a disciple? It says, if ye abide in me, if we are growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ and our fellowship with him, then what happens? It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
You know, this is just a natural byproduct of our growth and our drawing close to Jesus Christ. And the same thing is true when we are encouraging someone else to draw close to Jesus Christ, to be in the vine, to abide in Christ. Let the words of God abide in their life, just like the words of God are abiding in my life. They will naturally be growing. And that's encouraging to me because it helps me to understand, where do I start? How do I help someone? You know, I can help by focusing on strengthening their relationship with Jesus and being able to share from my relationship with Jesus how that works. And secondly, we can teach the commands of Jesus Christ. And this becomes more in depth because there's a lot of teaching of Jesus Christ. But you know what I find is, start with the simple things. Those things that have become habits in your life, start imparting those to others. Start investing in those, just like a parent would invest in their child, in the things that are important to them. No, I find there are things that are important to me that I'm continually trying to invest in my children. I didn't realize this until lately, but it's important how I sweep the floor, apparently, because that's what I'm teaching over and over to my children. I have a method of doing that, and I feel like I'll be teaching that for the rest of my life. But the things that are important to you, the things that are allowing you to grow in the Lord, entrust those to others. First of all, our command is to be strong. And secondly, to deposit truth in the life of another person. You know, we could put all sorts of other action points in here about being an example, about hearing God's word, about being faithful and in the duties of a believer. But I think if we were to boil it all down, say, first of all, if we are strong, we'll be holding on to the sound words of Scripture so that we can communicate them. And if you're doing that, that means that you are listening intently to what God is teaching you. And if you are doing that, then you are growing. And if you are ready, if you are growing in things, the Bible says you can invest yourself in the life of someone else because you are investing the things that you've already received. And then the key is to be looking for faithful men and faithful women. You say, how will I know if someone is faithful? You will know that by how they receive truth and what they do with the truth. It's very simple. You will learn as you're spending time with someone, are they using what you're giving to them? And I've had to learn this the hard way, that sometimes people just don't do anything with what they've been given. And you know what God tells us to do? He tells us to keep looking for others, to keep looking for faithful men, to commit to faithful men. Because the work of evangelism and the Great Commission, it's a collective command. You know, discipleship is a corporate command or mandate that requires personal responsibility. I'll leave you with one last illustration as we close. If I were to tell you tonight, brush your teeth, would you take that as a corporate command or an individual responsibility? We say it's both, right? I'm telling you all. I don't know how to say brush ye teeth. No, brush your teeth, all of you. But you have to do it individually. It's your individual responsibility. And I want us to think tonight, Lehigh Valley Baptist Church, if we are, go ye therefore, if we are all to go and teach all nations, it's something that we all have to be involved in. It's a, we have, there's individual responsibility to this matter of disciple making. And I praise God that He has given us His faithful word, and He's given us the power, and He's given us the ability to be growing, that we would deposit what we're learning into the life of someone else. And I just want to challenge you tonight with this thing that's a real challenge in my heart, is that I want to grow in this area of disciple making. In this year, I want the Lord to help me to grow in this, and I pray the same thing for you. I pray that God would help us all to grow in this matter of hearing, being diligent to hear from God's word, that we would be diligent to deposit, faithful to deposit, invest in the life of another person.